Come on, son.
Raphael on the track.
Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. It's Ed Lover, and this is Come On, Son, the podcast. What's up, everybody? How you doing? First of all, I just want to take a little time out today to say thank you to everyone that subscribed to Come On, Son, the podcast on iTunes. Thank you very much. This is what happened to me the other day, y'all. I appreciate everybody that's listening, and I appreciate you whether you like the podcast or whether you don't like the podcast. But if you don't like the podcast, give me some constructive feedback on how I can make the podcast better. I've been doing radio for a very long time now, so I think I'm pretty astute on how to speak into a microphone and how to do a podcast. I don't know what people expect this podcast to be, what they expect it not to be, but recently I had did a podcast with Chubb Rock that everybody seemed to like a lot. They just thought it was a little too short. Well, I kind of felt the same way because there's so many more things that I could talk to Chubb Rock about, but I know your attention span when it comes to the internet, watching stuff, or listening to stuff. You don't have a long attention span. A lot of times you guys don't want to listen to something that's an hour and a half, or stuff like that. So I'll break it up into two parts. So believe me, we will have two parts of the conversation with Chubb Rock. We gave you one part, but I'll bring it back and give you another part. So I was on my Twitter the other day, and you can follow me at Mr. Ed Lover. That's M-R-E-D-L-O-V-E-R. And a guy gets on and goes, starts just going off about my podcast. Oh, it was trash. I don't like the girl that was on there with you on the Chubb Rock one. Her accent is annoying. Had no idea that the young lady that was on that podcast was the legendary hip-hop icon, Miss Moni Love, who is my partner on my radio show, the Ed Lover Show with Moni Love. Had no idea. Just going off. Your fucking podcast is trash. I expected more out of you, blah, 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 blah. I'm just giving you some constructive criticism. I wrote back, that's not constructive criticism. And then when I go to look at his page, he only has like 20, 25 followers. So I hit him back like, stop trying to engage in an argument with me in order to increase your followers. That's not the kind of thing that I'm going to get involved with. I understand what an internet troll is. There are fucking people out there that will hit up a celebrity, say some slick shit, and just keep at it and trying to create an argument so that people pay attention to you so you can increase your followers. Ooh, he's ill. He told Ed Lover this, or he told Talib Kweli this, or he told Common this, or they said this to Serena Williams, or he said this to this person, or he went left, or she went left on Nicki Minaj, and then all of Nicki Minaj's barbs start getting at her. Just because you're trying to attract other people who are a miserable fuck just like you. I'm not the kind of person that's going to engage in that. So if you hit me with the bullshit, 9 times out of 10, you are going to get some kind of side reaction from me that you didn't expect. You're not going to get an argument out of me. You're going to get me saying something stupid like, I like peach cobbler, but I don't like peaches. And I'll leave it like that. Or I'll say to you, I don't drink the water out of the gas station bathroom. But arguing back and forth with some internet troll, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to help you increase your listeners. So once I told him and explained to him in quite a nice manner that what you just said to me about my podcast being trash and this, that, and the third is not constructive criticism, and you need to look up what constructive criticism is, he hit me back and goes, well, you're the radio personality. I thought you should know. Yeah, I do know exactly what I'm doing. I do know how to do a podcast and do a podcast correctly, okay? After that, well, you a legend, you know what I mean? No disrespect intended. Disrespect taken, it's too late. You can't pop shit and then say you didn't mean to disrespect me. You can't spit in my face and tell me you didn't mean to disrespect me. You can't stab me with a knife and then go, my bad, I didn't mean any disrespect. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Nobody got time for that, man. I mean, I get so many things that come at me sometime over social media that is ridiculous. Somebody posted a picture on Throwback Thursday. You know, it's a very popular thing on Instagram and Facebook and whatever. Posted an old picture of me that I hadn't seen in a long time of myself and Tupac. And then it goes, here's a classic Throwback Thursday picture of the legendary Ed Lover and Tupac. And then they added me on a picture and it wrote to me, oh, you were so lucky to know Tupac. Excuse me? I was lucky to know Tupac? I don't look at it that way. See, the way y'all look at Tupac is different than the way I look at Tupac. It's totally different because Tupac and I knew each other personally, because I knew Tupac before he became the infamous Tupac. That's the way it is with me with a lot of celebrities. Like, the way people hold Tupac up is not the same way I look at it, because I look at him like my friend. Like, I have a friend named Kevin, Kevin Richburg. Good guy, great guy, family man, close friend, very supportive. If something was to happen to Kev, I would remember Kev the same way I remember Tupac, and Kev is nowhere near as famous as Tupac. Nobody has Kevin Richburg t-shirts going around. There's no big statue here in Atlanta, Georgia, of Kevin Richburg. Well, shit, somewhere there should be, because he's a great guy and a great father, but he doesn't get props for that. But he didn't attain the fame that Tupac attained. But I look at my relationship with Kevin the same way I look at my relationship with Tupac. They were both my friends. Well, Kev's still alive, God bless him, but he's my friend. You understand? And no matter how high he gets and no matter how many accolades he gets, he will always be my friend. And that's the way Tupac was to me. We used to hang out. He used to be at my mama's house. He loved my mother's sweet potato pies. He loved my mother's potato salad. He would be on my block, like, regularly. He would be around the corner at my man Stretch's house. Now, Stretch and Tupac were much closer than Tupac and I were. Stretch used to be with Tupac all the time, actually produced some songs for Tupac, actually did some music with Tupac. And Stretch's brother actually right now has an entire book of Tupac's rhymes with the manifesto to Thug Life in it. I'm not going to tell you what his brother's name is, because you might try to find where he live at and jack him for this shit, and we ain't having that, all right? Besides, he don't have it at home. It's in a safe deposit box, okay? So that's how close we were with Tupac, that he has in his possession a whole freaking book of Tupac's rhymes. It was normal for us to be around Tupac. Even when he gained all the fame that he gained, it was normal for me to be around Tupac. Even after the whole shenanigans, the supposed hit that Biggie and them knew about, which they did not, Tupac and I still were friends. We even had a falling out because Stretch got killed in New York City and Tupac didn't come to his funeral. And I cursed his ass out at the after party for the MTV Video Music Awards. And he was my friend, and I cursed him out. I didn't give a fuck, because I felt a certain way about it, because Stretch has a daughter named Monisha. I'm Monisha's godfather, and Tupac is Monisha's godfather. So regardless of what you felt, like you were mad at Stretch because Stretch would not stop being cool with Big and him after you got shot at the Quad Studio, which is another story altogether, because Stretch was with you and got laid down on the floor right next to you. Right there next to you, okay? And he knew Biggie and I may have nothing to do with that shit. He knew it, and if you check court records on this trial of Jimmy Henchman, you'll find out what really happened to Tupac in the Quad Studios and who was 100% behind it. And then when you find out who was behind it, you'll know it wasn't Puff or Big at all, okay? But that's another subject or another podcast. My point of the matter is, throughout everything that happened, throughout the falling out with him and Stretch and the Stretch getting shot and killed in 1995, we still remained cool after that. Actually saw Tupac and spoke to Tupac right there in the MGM Grand Hotel before they left and went out, and he was shot up. I saw him that day. I actually am the one that stood on stage with Nas in Nassau Coliseum. You can go to YouTube and check it out for yourself. Nas allowed me to tell an audience full of hip-hop fans at Nassau Coliseum that Tupac had just died. Tupac and I was cool, so I don't look at Tupac the same way you guys look at Tupac. I just don't. I look at him as a friend that I lost. The same way I look at Stretch as a friend that I lost. The same way I look at B.I.G. as a friend that I lost. We were cool. Everybody was cool with each other. Pac and Big were cool, real cool. Mad cool. I remember I saw Pac again on the set of Juice. I hadn't seen him in a long time. When they were filming Juice, I was on the set. So was Stretch. So was Tretch from Naughty by Nature. Tretch is not going to look at Tupac the same way you guys look at Tupac. And they were close, too. There's a lot of love between all of us. I can remember getting on a train with Tupac, going to going to the Apollo in Harlem, New York City, to see Naughty by Nature perform when people really did not even know who Tupac was at all. It's the same way I look at Omar Epps. Omar Epps was a friend of mine. I introduced Omar Epps to the woman that bore his first daughter. Rest in peace, Kalima Farrakhan. I introduced them. And Kalima, in turn, introduced me to my ex-wife, Kim. And I, in turn, connected Tretch and Pepper. Well, Tretch and Pepper's relationship didn't work out, neither did mine and my ex-wife, Kim. She's a great mom to my children, but the relationship just didn't work out. But I'm just saying this to tell y'all how close everybody were. And when you look at people in a certain way, there's other people that don't look at them in that same way. It's the same way I look at Puff. Multi-millionaire, but still, to me, he's Puff. It's not like, oh my God, Puff Daddy, oh my God, you've done all these great records. To me, it's just, that's Puff. I respect what he does, and I respected what Tupac laid down. I respected how great he was as an MC, and I respected how torn he was as a human being between trying to live his life and enjoy it and trying to hip everybody to what was going on. He was definitely a revolutionary in that sense. We've had some deep conversations because that's where he comes from. You know, that whole Black Panther movement is what Tupac comes from. Tupac peeped a lot of shit out before we all peeped a lot of shit out. He knew about it because that's where he came from, but I still remember those deep conversations we've had in the studio. I remember bailing him out in Atlanta, Georgia at the Jack the Rapper convention when we was up on the rooftop and they got popped for having a little bit of weed on him. I had the majority of the weed. I gave the weed to Nikki D because Tupac was being disrespectful to the security guard who kept telling them, put the weed out. He was like, fuck out of here. And then they called the cops. Well, I remember all of that. So those are my fond memories of Pac. Pac was my man. I remember giving Pac the key to my room so he could go have sex with a famous singer who will remain nameless right now. That's how close we was. Me laughing and telling him he better not fucking leave stains on my sheets and to call downstairs and have the sheets changed when he finished. That's the Pac I remember. I don't remember him the way you guys remember him. There's a lot of people that I'm not going to remember. So when somebody say, oh, you were lucky to have known Tupac, yeah, I was, but not in the sense that you look at it. In the sense that was one of my boys that I lost. Just like Stretch was one of my boys that I lost. Just like Heavy D was one of my boys that I lost. It's all in the same realm. I don't look at Tupac as being more important in my life than Heavy D was. Heavy D was my friend for a long ass time. I think I actually took Heavy D's death harder than I took Tupac's death. And I'm going to be honest with you right here and right now because this is my podcast. I saw that Tupac was walking down the wrong road. I saw it because Suge and them was bullying the shit out of people. They were very disrespectful. They had a $100 million company and let the shit go to their head, trying to be super extra ridiculously gangster when it didn't call for it. And once Tupac got pulled into that life, I saw that it wasn't going to end well for him. Because let me tell y'all something, man. No matter how much, we all from some neighborhood somewhere. Some of us more hood than other people. Most of us, if you're over age 40, you remember when crack hit in your nice neighborhood or middle-class neighborhood that you grew up in with trees and cars and having block parties and park jams turned into a war zone because everybody became a crack dealer and they were fighting over territory and how your property value dropped in your neighborhood. We all remember that shit. So we know real gangster motherfuckers. We know real gangster niggas are out there. Real gangster bitches, to be tell you the truth. So we know no matter how bad you think you are, no matter what you rap about, no matter how you talk about busting your gun and doing all of that old extra shit, that there's somebody out there that's badder than you. And we all know this to be true and factual. I know some of the baddest motherfuckers in Queens, Brooklyn, Long Island, Uptown, and the Bronx. And a lot of them got murdered. Straight murdered. Because there was always somebody badder than you. And I used to tell Tupac that all the time. When I saw him, I told him, I said, man, listen, man. I don't know about this thing you're doing right now, bro, because these dudes here, they gonna get you in trouble, man. They gonna get you in bad trouble. And that was just from friend to friend because we keep it 100% real with each other. A couple of times I was bugging out about something at MTV. Like, I was ready to quit. Like, fuck this. These motherfuckers don't treat me right. They not letting me do what I want to do. They're allowing people to do this, that, and the third. And he come to me and say, yo, Ed, you know what? You bugging right now. You have a platform that's really special. You have a platform that reaches millions of people, man. You're helping to push our music forward. You and Dre and Ted and Fab sit in that room and y'all program these videos. Y'all helping us launch careers that'll feed our family forever. We need you to be there. We need you to kind of like swallow your fucking pride right now and do what you got to do. And he kept it 100 with me. And I always kept it 100 with him. Whether we were close or whether we were two passing ships in the night. Sometimes people in your life for a reason in the season. And sometimes the season is over and they move on. You know what I mean? So when people come to me and start telling me about Tupac and how lucky I was and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I think we were lucky to have each other. I don't think one is more lucky than another one or the other one. I think whenever you have somebody in your life and they're your friend and they add value to your life, I think, and you add value to their lives, I think you're both equally as lucky to have each other. And I know some of y'all might be listening to this going, yo, you bugging the fuck out. Tupac was this, that, and the third. But when you've known somebody before that as a person, you don't look at them like that. You think my mother look at me as that lover? That little Red Bull brick right there. I'm thirsty. My mother don't fucking give a fuck that I'm call myself Ed Lover. She don't give a fuck that the world knows me as Ed Lover. To my mother, I'm her baby boy. It's my big brother, Kelvin, and my big brother, Larry, and I'm the baby boy. The baby of my family is my sister, Sonia. But do you think my mother looks at me like that? Do you think my sons and daughters look at me as Ed Lover or they look at me as daddy? That's what I'm trying to get through to y'all. I didn't look at Tupac as Tupac the superstar until me and him went somewhere and they had to shut a damn mall down or some shit to get us out, both out of there, because I was equally as famous as he was in the early 90s. Okay? I didn't look at him like that. I looked at him as fucking Pac. That's how I looked at him. I looked at Biggie as Christopher Wallace, my man, where I've been broken bread at your house and chill and knew your daughter before you had CJ and knew when you were with Faye. That's how I looked at him. That's how I look at Puff. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm coming from a different place. A lot of times I hear people will sit around and a name will come up. Like somebody will go, yeah, Jay-Z this or Jay-Z that. Yeah, Jay-Z's an asshole. And I'd be like, no, he's not. Yeah, he is. He's a fucking asshole because I met him one time and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, that don't make him an asshole. He's never been an asshole to me. I can only go by the way people treat me. I can only go by what I know about people the same way you can only go by what you know about people. But a lot of times what happens is the fans have a moment in time where they meet somebody. And my mother always told me this, because sometimes I used to be on my asshole shit, too. And my mother told me, listen, man, that might be the first time that that person has come into contact with anybody famous. So chill out and listen to what people have to say. And I had to learn humility through my mom and through my good friend, the Big Spence. So, you know, people look at things differently from all walks of life, man. You know, I remember Pac and I got thrown out of Magic City in Atlanta. I'm talking about physically thrown the fuck out. Okay, we went to Magic City one night. Me, Pac, and Stretch. God rest both of their souls. So we go in. We drunk when we get in there. Okay, we fucked up. We smoking weed. We drinking. We go to Magic City. Now, I don't know if you ever been to Magic City in Atlanta, but I know then and I do know now. Unless you are getting a lap dance, they have a hands-off-the-women policy. back in this day, Magic City never had any ugly girls working in Magic City. Never. And they came in all shapes and sizes. This is before what I call the quote-unquote stripper uniform that they have now. Okay, let me enhance my titties, let me enhance my ass, and let me get tattoos all over my body. You know what I'm talking about, folks? Yeah, that uniform. Okay? Let me speak on that for a minute. The reason why a lot of women got enhancement, especially in the strip game, is to stand out with a better looking body than the women that didn't have enhancement. But now that everybody damn near got enhancement, you all look the fucking same. So the woman with the tight body that's natural, excuse me, Red Bull break. The woman with the tight body that's natural is looking better than all of you with all the fucking tattoos all down your leg and on your back and everything and all over the place, because you look just like the other girl that's around the corner. Okay, now back to the story. We get in there, we drunk, we order some champagne, we all got money in our pocket, we start throwing money around, and we start fucking slapping ass and having a good time. But the women that's on the stage, we not even in the champagne room. The women was on the stage. Now, Magic City is set up differently now than it was then. Back then, they had a champagne room to your right as soon as you walked in, where you can actually go into the champagne room and get your lap dances and table dances and all that. There was no fucking in the champagne room, to quote Chris Rock. But there was fucking, but there wasn't fucking. You dig where I'm coming from? So, we not in the champagne room. We right by the stage. Pac is fucking pouring champagne down the small of a woman's back and sticking 20s to it, and we just keep getting the tap. Hey, Tupac, Ed Lover, how y'all doing? Yeah, we know y'all in here, man. We appreciate your business, man, but you can't touch the girls. We like, all right, yeah, we gonna chill. Soon as security go away, we start doing the same shit again. I'm fucking slapping the shit out of ass and sticking 20s and 50s on their backs and throwing money up in the air. I'm drunk as fuck. We get that tap again. Bop, 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 bop. Hey, man. You guys got to stop touching the girls, okay? If we have to come over here and ask you, stop again, you're going to have to leave. Okay, we having a good time. Next thing I know, Pac jumps up on the fucking stage, takes his shirt off, start waving it over his head. Security comes to get him. Hey, man, you can't, Tupac, you got to chill out. You know how Pac was. Ah, partner, man, we just having a fucking good time. We spending money with the fuck. I'm like, yo, chill, chill. We going to chill. We going to chill. Did we chill? Hell fucking no, we didn't chill. Now, I don't know if y'all know. I guess I would estimate Pac was about 5'8", 5'9", maybe 6 feet tall, right? I'm 6'4", stretches with us. He's my man. He's 6'8". Next thing I know, all I feel is a hand in the fucking, on the back of my collar of my fucking jacket and a hand on the back of my belt lift my ass up and bum rush me to the fucking door. Magic City. I'm looking at Pac. He's screaming and yelling. He's getting bum rushed to the fucking door next to me. There's two motherfuckers on stretch because he's so fucking big, bum rushing his ass to the door. And when we get outside the door of Magic City after quite a fucking struggle, because I wasn't going out without at least some kind of a fight, all right? We didn't just get pushed out the front door. I was tossed like fucking Jazzy Jeff in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the way Uncle Phil and them used to throw his ass out and he used to fly up in the air. That's the way I was tossed. I was tossed like a man sitting next to somebody in a car going high speed and they open the door and just kick your ass out and you fly up in the air and you hit the ground and dust and shit is flying all over the place. That's the way I was out of Magic City. If you've never been to Magic City, let me describe it to you. When you pull up in the parking lot and pay, you have to walk up at least, I would say, 6 or 7 stairs before you go into the entrance of Magic City, where you would pay to get in and then go through the metal detectors and then through the double doors into Magic City. Well, I was rushed out of there, out the door, and I never touched one of them 7 steps. Never. I hit the ground. I rolled over. I got up. Pockets doing the double fucking fuck you fingers to them. I'm yelling at him, fuck y'all, I'm never coming in here again, fuck this fucking shabby ass place with these ugly ass bitches, I'm drunk, shit, I got motherfucking blood all over my jacket from the wear of my fucking elbows and got scraped the fuck up, and we laughed all the way back to the fucking car, got in the car, took off, and just went to another fucking strip club and had a good time and started the bullshit all over again until we got thrown the fuck out of that club. But at least that club, we were just pushed out the front door. But that was a great fucking night that I'll never forget. And that's what I'm talking about, of me just hanging out with my boy. Just having a good time with my boy, with my friends. A different perspective on it. You dig where I'm coming from? It was just a different perspective of me hanging out with my people. So when I hang out with my people, I'm lucky to have had them as in my life as a friend. Not lucky in the fact that they achieved so much in their life. And they were lucky to have me. And we'll leave it at that. You know what I mean? Because it's just a different way of looking at shit, y'all. It is. And all the people that you have in your life right now, whether they're famous or not, or whether they become famous or ever become famous, cherish every damn moment that you have with them. Because life is so short. So short. Sometimes I sit back and think about all the people that I knew that passed away early. I lost 3 great friends in 3 years in a row. I lost my man Big Stretch from the Live Squad in 1995. I lost Tupac in 1996. I lost Biggie in 1997. We lost Aaliyah. We lost Left Eye. We lost so many. It's hard to count. Now, Q from Worldstar just passed away. May his soul rest in peace. Big Cap is no longer here. May his soul rest in peace. I mean, I'm quite sure that right now, off the top of my head, as I do this podcast, I'm missing so many people, but may all of their souls rest in peace. And if I didn't mention your name just now, it's not because of my heart, it's because of my brain. Because I miss every one of them, and I was honored to know them, to hang out with them, to share good times with them, to break bread with them, to actually know their families. You know, I got to sit with Ali one time for an entire afternoon. An entire afternoon with the greatest of all time, privately, in his suite, in a hotel. Crazy. Knew Prince very well. All these things affected me when all these people died, but I don't look at them as the same way that you may look at them, and especially not Tupac, because I was closer, way closer with Tupac than I was with Prince or Ali. That was just, well, Prince I used to see all the time. I remember one night we went to Glam Slam. It was me, Stretch, and Pac again. And Prince performed, and he gave me a tambourine that night. And I kept the tambourine for a long time until my son was born, and my son got a hold of it and tore it up. It was a tambourine. That's when he was a cymbal. And I remember backstage us talking hip-hop with Prince, and you would be surprised how much about hip-hop this man actually knew. I mean, he knew a shit load about hip-hop. A lot. A lot. That's the same night we left there, and King T will tell you the story. Him and Tupac got into a fight about a rag that Tupac, you know, a bandana that Tupac had in his pocket. Fucking most hilarious shit I've ever seen in my damn life. But that's the kind of memories that I remember, you know, or memories, not memories I remember, isn't that redundant? Memories that I have of my man Tupac and some of my friends in this business. And it's just a shame that, you know, you look up and here we are in 2017 and so many of our legends have passed away. That's why you have to be good to people. You have to enjoy your life without being reckless, okay? And you have to cherish every moment that you have on this earth with everyone, because you never know when either God is going to call you or God is going to call them home. You just, folks, you just never know. That's the bottom line, and that's the facts, man. So I appreciate it, man. I appreciate everybody listening to this podcast. I appreciate my time that I had with my friends. I appreciate my family. I appreciate all feedback. Okay, you can get me at Mr. Ed Lover on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's at Ed Lover. That's E-D-L-O-V-E-R. Okay, so make sure that y'all holler at me about that. Make sure y'all check me out on In The Cut on Bounce TV. I have a role in there on that. On an episode, I'm playing a guy named Roderick. Make sure you check me out on Fresh Off The Boat. And I'm doing a movie called Come Sunday that's going to be on Netflix with Chiwetel Ejiofor. Y'all know him from 12 Years a Slave, and he was in the joint with Denzel Washington when he played one of Denzel's brothers. Y'all remember. Y'all know who he is, man. Just look it up, right? Until then, y'all keep God first. Everything else will fall into place. I'll talk at you, with you, to you, and about that ass the next time I do. Come on, inside the podcast. Be good if you can be good. Be careful if you can be careful. Name your baby Tupac. Amaru Shakur. Till the next time we ride out and slide out and laugh out loud together, this is your boy Ed Lover for Come On Son, the podcast. Be good, be careful, be well, and we'll holler soon. Come on, son. The fuck out of here with that bullshit. It's the podcast.
This episode of Come On Son, the podcast, is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.